Please join me in God's Word in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 13. This is on page 55 and 56 of your pew Bibles. Exodus 13, we're beginning a new chapter, not numbered chapter in the book of Exodus, but a new chapter in God's working and dealing with his people. Up until now, all the way through the Exodus, we've seen God's work of redemption for his people. Today, we will start to see a new shift as we become pilgrims heading for the promised land. So let's now turn our attention to Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up on the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall surely carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Let's now look together to him for wisdom. Our Father, we come before you as your humble pilgrims who don't know which way to go in life if it wasn't for you, who don't have the strength to get there if it wasn't for you. And so we pray that you would nourish us with this passage this morning and help us to be faithful servants who follow you and submit to your guidance all the days of our lives. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The second highest selling book in the history of the English language, next to the Bible, is a book by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress. A pilgrim is one who's on a long journey going to a sacred place. And it's quite an appropriate title, a very appropriate book. If you've never read it, I invite you to do so. It's a great story about how God works in our lives to lead us to glory. It's not just about pilgrims, but it's about pilgrims making progress to the Holy Land, to the city of God. It's a long journey, just as our lives are a long journey. If you're ever going somewhere where you've never gone before, especially if it's outdoors and it's a place where you could be attacked and killed and get lost, die in umpteen different ways, it's very good to have a guide with you, one who's been there before, one who knows what he's doing. Some of the things you'd want to check out in such a guide is, does he know what he's doing? Has he gone through these things before? Can you trust him? And will he abandon you at the first sign of trouble? And as we think about our journey, we have a guide, and a guide who shows himself to his people dramatically here and shows himself to us through the Holy Spirit in our lives now on the other side of the cross. And we'll see this great guide we have matches all of those needs and more. He knows what he's doing. We see that in verses 17 through 18. He is trustworthy. We see that in verse 19. And he will never, ever leave us in verses 20 through 22. So in this passage, God is calling us to follow him no matter what the circumstances in our lives. God is calling us to follow him no matter what we're facing. So first, we see that God knows what he's doing. Take a look again at verse 17, when Pharaoh, and we might add the word finally, when he finally let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. In other words, that was the straight, that was the shortcut. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So if you've ever seen a map of that part of the world, you know that Egypt is here, and you can follow the coast of the Mediterranean Sea east and northeast till you get to the Promised Land. It's only 150 miles. Armies have made that journey in 10 days. You think with all the families here, they would have made it in a month. But that's not how God took them. And sometimes we ask questions why, we never get an answer. Well, in this case, we do get an answer why. Why does not God take them on a direct route? That route would have been the Via Maris, the road of the sea, the way of the sea, which goes from the Nile River to Palestine. That was a well-traveled road. It's often been called the most oldest road in the world. But the problem was it was guarded by Egyptian forts. And then if you would have made your way past the Egyptian forts, you had the Philistines who were ready to fight too. And as we see during the Exodus, God's people are timid and afraid, and God knows that. So he knows that at the first sign of trouble, they would have turned their tails and ran back to Egypt to go back to the glorious days where they were slaves and be slaves again for another 400 years. That's what they would have done. So God leads them away from that danger, and he heads them south towards the Red Sea. And so God knows what's best for us. He sent them on a longer, more troubling path, fraught with danger, but he knows that was the way that they needed to go. He opens up and tells us why, because they would have confronted immediate danger before they ever had soldiers that were trained. They didn't have any commanders that were trained. Think about it. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They might have been equipped to fight, but they didn't know how to. So God spares them of that. Also in this verse, we see a play on words that's going on. In the English words, the verbs translated God's leading and the Hebrews changing their mind. The Hebrew word for leading is naham, and the Hebrew word for changing their minds is yin naham. And it points out the difference between God, the faithful leader, and us, the faithless followers. There's a difference between God, who is so faithful to us, and us who are faithless to him. It makes us think about the question, what can separate us from the love of Christ? If it's talking about our love for Christ, well, the answer is almost anything. And it doesn't take much to separate me from my love for Christ. I'll drop it and run at a heartbeat. But if you're talking about Christ's love for us, then nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Death, persecution, trials, suffering. Christ died for us. He's committed to us. He will never, ever forsake us. Verse 18, God led the people around by way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. That verb, equipped for battle, refers, it's a military term. It's referring to how they walked in ranks, in divisions. They weren't ready to fight, but they were marching along in ranks and divisions. Again, there were no soldiers in their group. There were no trained commanders in their group. They would have dropped everything and run, but they wanted to be protected by God. So as we look at God and as he is our guide, we see that God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows us, his sheep. He knows our tendencies. He knows we're scared. We're fearful. We're weak. We need to be led. And he knows the path. He knows where the dangers are. So we have a great leader. Think about how the Bible describes our way, our path, our road that we're to follow as we follow Jesus. It goes through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a terrifying route. It's a road of self-denial. It's a road of cross-bearing on a daily basis. It's a road that goes through a narrow gate. It's a road that leads to life, but it's difficult, and very few find it. Are you on that road today? And if you are, do you realize that you have a faithful guide who's steering you down that path? You're not there by accident. There's no situation in your life you're going through that's there by accident. He's a good and loving God who is guiding us and giving us what's best for us and what's most glorifying to Him. Romans 8:28. We can trust this, that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Nothing happens in our lives by accident. Do you really understand that? Do you really believe that? Well, not only does our guide know what he's doing, he's also trustworthy. And we see that in a strange way in verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. It shows us what Moses was doing while the rest of his people were plundering the Egyptians and getting all the gifts that they were taking with them on their road trip. Moses was busy exhuming a body, the body of Joseph. Keep your finger here in Exodus 13. Flip back to the last chapter of Genesis, which is on page 44 if you have your pew Bibles in front of you. As you turn there, you might remember that the first word of the book of Exodus is the word "and." In other words, Exodus is a continuation of Genesis. And specifically, it's a continuation of the last chapter of Genesis, where we see near the end of the last chapter these very words. And Joseph said to his brothers, and this is beginning in verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and will bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Someone kept up with Joseph, with his remains, and someone remembered the promise that God had made 400 years earlier. We think about Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Joseph, verse 22. It says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. You see, when God told Joseph something, it was as good as done in Joseph's mind. It didn't matter that it wouldn't happen for 400 years. Timeline doesn't matter in our trusting God's promises. He's going to provide for us. He's going to be our God. We're going to be his people. He will give us what's best for us. He's not going to leave us despite whatever situations you might be going through in your life. God's promised that he will stay with us, and he shows the people of God that he will stay with them in their journey across the wilderness. Even in their rebellion, he's with them. Even over the 40 years that they end up taking to get there, he's with them. And he is with us as well. So it didn't matter how long the promise took to fulfill. When God made a promise to Joseph, it was a done deal. We too are awaiting a promise of God's return. Many times the world mocks us. So when's Jesus coming back? Today? Tomorrow? It's like, well, hopefully, yeah. But the fact that it's been centuries since that promise was made doesn't mean it's any less likely to occur and be fulfilled than it was the day he made it. We too are waiting for the promise that are centuries old, and it prompts us to ask, well, where is he? When's he coming back? That's how God deals with his people. He makes us promises and steps back and watches us live by faith as we trust him and bring him great glory. So Moses, while they were plundering the Egyptians, gathering the riches they would take with them to the promised land, Moses is gathering together Joseph's remains, and they're carrying the coffin. And we can just assume that they're carrying the coffin at the front of the procession as the people of God go towards the promised land, where Joseph will be finally buried. It's a physical sign, Joseph's bones are, a physical sign that God uses to remind us of the spiritual realities, the spiritual promises that he makes. He gives us other signs. He gives us the Lord's Supper, baptisms, other things that remind us that he is still at work. He has not forgotten us. You can just imagine one Hebrew saying to the other, "Where are we going?" And the other one answers, "I don't need to know that. All I know are those are Joseph's bones, and I'm going where they're going." Can we say the same thing? So our guide, God, the King, knows what he's doing. He's trustworthy, and finally, he promises us that he will never leave us or forsake us. We see that in verses 20 through 22. Let's look at verse 20. They moved on from Succoth and encamped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And then verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to lead them, to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. So not only did God give them bones to follow, he gave them something even better, himself. God gives us himself, especially in times of struggle, of struggles and trials. God gives us more and more of himself. When we pray that God would reveal himself more and more to us, that's code for praying that, God, you're going to bring on suffering in my life, and that's how I'm going to get to know you better, but bring it on, because I want to get to know you better. So he doesn't just give them bones, he gives them himself. And his presence was made known during the day in a cloud of, in a pillar of cloud, and at night in a pillar of fire. So not only did they know where to go, I mean, it was kind of obvious. They just seen God destroy Egypt. They know they don't want to mess with God. They know what it's like to oppose him. But not only do they know where to go, even though it doesn't make sense to them, they know when to go. So when the cloud stops, they stop and they wait. And many of you who are going through trials, it's the waiting part that is so frustrating. You know what to do. You know what you want. You have an idea of how God's going to answer that prayer. But the waiting is what kills us. The waiting is what's so difficult for us. We know Jesus is coming back. The waiting for it kills us. It gnaws at us. We want to be with Carlene in heaven. She was ready to go. She wanted to be with her husband, Willard, who passed 4 years before. And now she is. She wanted to be with her Lord Jesus, and now she is. And as we prayed earlier, the day we die as believers is our greatest day. It's where we become more alive than we ever were on this earth. And that's true for believers. Is it true for you? It's easy for us, as we see the condemnation in Hebrews chapter 10 that we read earlier about the people of God who weren't really believers. They were just among the covenant people. And we see that those who have been given much to them or from them, much is demanded. So it's a dangerous place to be here this morning. It's a dangerous place. We've really got to examine ourselves. Do we know the Lord? Or are we just playing games? Do we know the Lord, or are we just playing games? So instead of heading east, northeast, they're heading straight south. And they come to Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They're about to step off into who knows where, and they're trusting their guide. Verse 22, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. And we think about, man, wouldn't it be cool if God did that today? That if our lives were just as simple as just following this pillar, wouldn't that be cool? Well, no. We have it even better. That's why the Old Testament says, like Moses looked forward to our day, because we have better than a pillar, a fire, a cloud. We have God himself, Jesus Christ, living in us through the Holy Spirit, guiding us, changing us, molding us more and more like him. It's even better now. The Lord of glory is in our midst, and he sent his Holy Spirit to abide in us and abide among us. There's a famous soccer team in Liverpool, England, and their team is encouraged every home game by their fans who sing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." If you've never heard it, it's It's worth looking it up on YouTube. You'll never walk alone. And we can take that to heart. We will never walk alone if we're children of God. He sent his Holy Spirit to abide in us and among us. God's leading his people through darkness, and his leading was unmistakable. If you've ever been in darkness, total darkness, imagine a pillar of fire. Okay, I know where to go now. I can see now, where without that, it would be a dark world. I know what that was like. I'd lived 20 years without knowing the Lord. I know what darkness is like, but I know what the light is. Trust me, the light is far better than the darkness. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, leading us. And sure, he's going to take us down paths that are going to make us scratch our head and thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? But he's been down this path before. Any place he takes us, he's experienced. He's had to walk this path in darkness before, but he found his way to glory. And that's where he's taking us today. The wilderness, the pilgrim's progress, is tough. It's a difficult road, and you all know that. But the fact that it's difficult does not mean God has abandoned you. It means God is fulfilling his role as a God in our life, giving us what's best for us and glorifying himself in the midst. And when the road is darkest and hardest and the steepest uphill, that is when he is closest to us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are a God who does not turn his back on us and run at the first sign of our faithlessness. But Father, you are a God who understands our weakness, and you have provided a God, a Savior for us, who is mighty to save and who is mighty to redeem us despite of ourselves. We look forward to the day where we will be with Carlene Johnson again, where we will be able to be reunited with those we love, and most of all, united with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he would come quickly, and we pray all these things in his holy name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing of the one who is mighty to save.